to the show.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lappin. I'm delighted to be, I'm delighted to be joined by the Super Smash Bro, Nick Bro. Nick, I can't say it. Right. I'm delighted to be joined.
You've got like a brandy or something.
I've only got
pitched.
I'm delighted
he usually does his best work when he's pissed, to be fair, lads.
Oh, right. And again.
Go again, Chris.
Who's typing?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the greatest show on earth, Broken But Glorious. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp, and I'm delighted to be joined by the Super Smash Bro, Nick Davey.
Good evening.
Three-time wrestling author Oliver Newman.
Good evening, everyone.
And Grapple Arcade's Mark Fox.
Hello.
How are you doing this evening, lads?
Good.
Very well. Got a bit of a bad shoulder, but I'm hot from that. I'm good.
Yeah. Very good. How are you, Chris?
Stuffed. Had chippy for tea.
Oh, man. You had a chippy tea?
Had chippy tea, yeah.
Oh, mess.
I can't do it on Tuesday.
No, our Isaac fell over and bumped his head, so he wouldn't leave Rachel's side, so she couldn't get cut two, so I said just order something.
So deep down you're happy, weren't you? You got a chip and tea, so
he's won.
Yeah. Alright, so tonight we've got a fantastic quiz, a question of sports entertainment with Nick as our quiz master this week. And then we'll be giving our predictions for Hell in a Cell, we've given our match predictions in positive and pro wrestling, and we've got our usual big debate. But Mark, what happened on Turnchuckle this week?
On Turnchuckle, we decided to upload an interview that we did with Rick Bognar. We were planning to hold it off until November, but due to the unfortunate, very sad passing of Rick this past weekend, we decided to upload it this weekend because he speaks a lot on the interview about positivity.
Yes.
He speaks a lot about how to deal with anxiety and anger management and things of that kind of nature, as well as his really interesting career. And some bits, you know, if you've never seen one of Rick's matches as Rick Titan, if you've only ever seen him as Fake Razor, you've only ever seen him as Fake Razor. But if you've ever caught him as Rick Titan, and I advise people to please go and watch some Rick Titan matches. He was the guy who was just shy of 300 pounds, who was doing like sort of running dives over top ropes, Hurricane Ranas. He was a talented dude.
It was an early 90s Brian Cage.
Oh, he was good, man. He was good. And wait, mate, he was unbelievable. He was really, really good. Really talented dude.
Awesome.
He
was tag team champions with Mike Awesome in Japan.
Indeed.
Tag teamed with him. Oh, wow.
Absolutely. No, he's worth checking out. So we uploaded that. You know, we were unsure of whether to do that or not. We didn't want to be seen as kind of, oh, look, they were uploading it following his death. And we were a bit unsure about what to do. But we decided, you know what it is, it's the best way of showing respect to somebody that we like and we got on well with, and he was a lovely, lovely person to speak to and very positive. So we uploaded that this week. Don't chuckle.
I listened to it last night. He sounded like a really, really lovely guy, and I do want to track down some of his matches as Rick Titan, no honesty.
Yeah, and then you've interviewed a couple of toy companies in the last couple of weeks as well.
We have, yes. We interviewed a guy called Eric, who works for a Boss Fight Studio, and they do a lot of... They're working with Mass Republic at the moment to do Legends of Lucha Libre figure line, which are all going to be in scale with Mattel figures, and they look bloody good. I'm going to be announcing the winner of the competition where we've got some signed prints of Rey Fénix and Pentagon later on tonight, actually. And we did an interview as well with Figures Toy Company, Dave from Figures Toy Company, and it was a great chat with them as well, and they've got some cracking lines out, all very much Jack's R-Ray sort of form, if you like. They bought the original molds.
I think that's
going to
cost me a fortune, because Joel's looked at the website.
It's incredible. Well, they brought out some, they've got some like Rising Star guys from ROH, they brought out that figure toy line.
Yeah.
And just before those guys ended up signing with WWE, so you've got like Kevin Steen in ROH action figure and people of similar ilk, and then ECW legends as well. So it's a great toy line. We had a good chat with them. It's been great. I mean, and it kind of coincides with the custom Hasbro wrestling figure competition that we're running at the moment, where we've all the entrants have now been confirmed. Next stage is we're going to be sending out some battered up figures. they're going to be customising the figures, putting them to auction, and then the money goes to charity. So it's going to be good fun.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. So I've got a fun weekend ahead. So I'm going to Mega Slam Wrestling in Liverpool this Friday.
Cool.
Robbie McKenzie versus Danny Hudson and CJ Banks versus Kieran Kelly are on the card. And then I've got Wrestle Island on Sunday with Warren Banks versus Lucas Steele for the Ireland Championship, plus friends of the show, Paradox, Alexis Falcon, Big Joe, Demon Eye are all appearing. So that's going to be a really fun weekend of wrestling ahead. So,
yeah, sounds it.
Yeah, so
excellent.
You'll hear all about it in the news next week, I'm sure. Right, so first we've got a bit of news. So for the love of wrestling, I've announced another star from our childhoods. Tatanka will be appearing.
He will indeed, yeah. Me, myself and Paul are very interested and very excited to meet Tatanka. Tatanka's one of those kind of dudes, he's been over here loads. If you've been like following any kind of the all-star style shows, if you like, the Butlins camps, that kind of stuff. Tatanka's over here quite a lot doing stuff. But he's one of those kind of people who, unless you're at those very specific kind of events, those holiday parks, whatever it may be, you're not going to get a chance to see him.
No.
Much like Gangrel was for quite a while.
I saw Gangrel a couple of years ago in New Brighton for Slot Wrestling.
Gangrel a couple of times in my books.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So the fact that Tatanka's coming over to do this is going to be great fun. I've never had a chance to meet him yet, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so for Love Wrestling, 18th to 19th of April 2020 at the Exhibition Centre in Liverpool. So so it seems that AEW has saved the day by sending Sean Spears and MJF to Southside Wrestling's final show. Before the promotion merges with Rev Pro, after WWE pulled all its UK talent,
they had to sign good though, didn't they? This week, AEW. fair play to them for obviously, for coming to the rescue. And it's sad again, like what a lot of the dudes, like the Young Bucks or something, are generally really wanted to do it and help out and really excited about performing there. So, no, really nice gesture from AEW.
Agreed.
Yeah, so in a statement from Southside, they confirmed that El Ligero is meant to appear, so it was Kevin, Joseph Connors, Kaylee Ray, Dragunov, Sia Brookside, and Saxon Huxley were all pulled by the WWE. The reason seems to be they don't think, since they've merged with Rev Pro, they don't think it's safe working conditions following that referee being attacked last.
Can't blame them, really, can you?
Well, I mean, you know.
The cynic in Cynic in me is thinking AEW is most likely want to get some good PR in the UK following their issues with ITV.
Yeah, absolutely. I wasn't joking around when I said that at the start. They probably do need to try and improve the publicity in the UK because it's not been great for them this week. It's almost like they turned heel before it's even begun this week. But you can't blame the WWE doing that. They're on their books, WWE paying the money. They obviously want the best conditions, the best environment. They don't want to have any injuries going forward in programming. So if obviously WWE have read bad publicity about Rev Pro after the referee scandal and what have you, and they don't think they don't think the conditions are safe enough for their employees, so to speak, then I'm afraid you can't really blame WWE, in my opinion.
I'd agree with that personally, and without trying to turn this into an AEW-related TV topic thing, I think one of the things I do want to say is that they've only shot themselves in the foot a bit by announcing it was going to be on ITV4 when it was.
Yeah.
It was unfortunate communication, that, because if, for example, that hadn't been said, and they said, oh, by the way, everybody, you can watch this on Fight for the equivalent of a quid a week, and also you're going to be able to watch a condensed version of it for free on ITV4. I think people would have been overjoyed at the idea of having that. Mm-hmm. It's just that it's come off the back of being told that we'll be able to watch it live at the time. So I think, you know, all things considered, we're still able to watch AEW for free if we want to, or pay a quid. I don't think, compared to what the option, compared to how we watch WWE over here, can we really begrudge AEW that much? And I think of all things considered, we need to maybe take a step back from that and not be so entitled, really, as fans.
I think it's more just the what we were led to believe that we're not getting. I think that's the more disappointment out
there, as opposed to
what we're actually getting. So yeah, if you look at it now, yeah, it's probably a lot cheaper. It's a quid a week, a couple of quid a week, as opposed to, obviously, if you want to watch your WWE, but you're not really interested in other sports, and you have to take out a whole Sky Sports package.
Exactly.
Obviously, in January, we'll have to take out a BT package. So when you look at it like that, it's not too bad. I think it's just that we were led to believe we'll get a live show, and now we have to wait, what is it, 4 days after it's been shown? An absolute ridiculous time of 8:20 on Sunday morning when...
It's going to be heavily edited, there's no doubt about that. And I think, the equivalent of a quid a show, it's still going to be great value if you're that interested in wanting to watch it.
Yeah.
And I think when you see a lot of fans online who are like, well, they've lost me as a fan and as a supporter, I'm like, if that turns you off the product altogether, then they're probably better off without you because you're going to just grumble at everything they did if that's going to be the case.
Well, that is true, yeah.
But I mean, like, to the extent of people saying they do not want to, you know, they will not support AEW, I'm like, oh, come on, get a grip. Add to all that, though, I do want to say that some relatively breaking news as of today, stroke last night, that NWA and Billy Corgan have announced that the NWA Power Show is going to debut on the 8th.
Yes, that sounds interesting.
And it's going to be at 5 minutes past 6 p.m. Eastern Time for completely free worldwide. So I think Eastern Time, so that's five hours behind us. We'll get it about sort of 11 o'clock at night, I believe that is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 5 past the hour to coincide with the old NWA timings of how they used to run things. So it's a nice tip nod of the hat there. But yeah, more free wrestling.
NWA Power, that's a great name. I think it's an old school name, isn't it?
Definitely. I'm overjoyed with this. I've been wanting to catch it for a while, but haven't had the opportunity to properly get around to it and sit down and, you know, sort my links out, basically.
Mm.
But the fact it's going to be on YouTube to watch... Awesome. More than happy with that.
Since
this has turned into an AEW UK TV chat, the only thing that really annoys me is the excuse that's been given for it not being live is because of the adverts. There's like an issue with the adverts. They can't get them to mix and match up with America, which I think is a bit ridiculous, first of all, but if it isn't live, if you can't watch it live on ITV4, you could have put it on Thursday night, you could have put it on Thursday afternoon, or whatever, Friday, Saturday, but Sunday morning, like you guys have said, it's going to be heavily edited, and if you're interested, I've got it on record, we'll see what happens on that Sunday morning, but... I think we've kind of been sold down the river with this one, to be honest. They could have done it, you know, the next day and so on and so forth. Not necessarily fight, although when you're told something's free and you've got to pay for it, that does leave a bit of taste in your mouth. But like you guys have said, it's cheaper than Sky Sports. I think people are just annoyed because they were told it was going to be free and now they've got to pay for it, and it seems... And it screams that, you know, it's all about the money kind of thing. I know it's
cheaper and stuff. Yeah, I think it's that, as you say, it's that initial, like, shock of, like, oh, hang on, we said we're going to... If they hadn't said they were going to get it for free live, then this wouldn't be an issue. I think people would be very, very happy at the offer at hand here. But as you say, because people have been told that first, they're kind of like, oh, all right, cheers for that.
And finally, Mike Johnson of the PW Insider has reported that CM Punk has met with Fox officials for the studios and has confirmed 100% that CM Punk is returning.
I've also got on record, apparently CM Punk's returned. Apparently he's going to be fighting Triple H at the next Saudi Arabia show. And then after that, apparently he's going to go and face Stone Cold in Survivor Series. And he's going to win the WWE Championship for 400 days.
He's going to be part of Team Hulk Hogan in Saudi Arabia.
It's a bit like when, you know, like when you support your football club and you're waiting for them to announce a signing.
Yes.
I don't know if other football fans have the same feel as me. I never, ever, ever get excited about any internet rumour until I see the club account has tweeted the player's official. It's on the back of the shirt. It's all done. I don't get excited about anything until it's done. It's the same as CM Punk or whoever going to a wrestling promotion. I don't get excited until it's done and dusted. Like Moxley, I only got excited when he turned up at...
I was convinced he's going to turn up
double or nothing.
All out or double or nothing.
In all honesty, the one thing I see here, obviously, he's coming back for an on-air role, but to do, you know, some talking on the show. But it is kind of settled for him to come back in the ring. In honesty, if we say, you know, what's going to happen at Hell in a Cell, which we think Bryan's going to turn on Reigns and stuff. If it was a 3-on-3 at Survivor Series, like I speculated, it would be Reigns, Rollins, and they need a third person. Survivor Series is in Chicago, so there you go.
That's a bit close.
Perfect time to come back, but I don't know if he will.
I think CM Punk's the reason that AEW aren't live in the UK on ITV4. I think he's going to unmask and say it was me all along.
If he does turn up in Survivor Series, I will cry though, because I turned down a chance to go to Survivor Series this year in Chicago.
Really?
I will be gutted. I will still be obviously delighted, but.
Alright, so then seriously, he has auditioned for a part on WWE Backstage, which is going to be an hour-long broadcast hosted by Rennie Young and Booker T, with a rotating cast of WWE's current and former superstars. Fox had Punk in for an on-air testing. So, who knows, appearing on WWE programming might get the fire back in his belly, and he want to return to the ring. Eventually.
It's a very interesting one, though, isn't it? Because everything I've read so far suggests that this is a Fox show rather than a WWE show, if that makes sense, in terms of the contracts, them dictating what happens, how it's filmed, how it's broadcasted. So it's going to be very interesting to see what that actually means going forward with that show. It might give it a dimension that it might be an actually really interesting show to watch purely because it's not WWE.
This is the professional Nathan Cruz, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast, because like me, you are head to toe a pro.
Cool, so it's time for the first round of
questions.
It's time for the first round of Question of Sports Entertainment. Nick is question master this week.
Yes, good evening. I'm trying to put on a Jeremy Clarkson accent, but I can't put it off. I've got three rounds to this quiz this evening, so again, it'll be done on the concept of, imagine like a three-way penalty shootout. Yeah, so you'll get five attempts, and then it seems how many points you can rack up. So you could rack up 5 points, or you could rack up 0 points. Does that all make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
It will do. when I finish with 0 points.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark. I'll let you go first in this one, okay? So Mark, go first, then we'll let Oliver go second, and Chris can go last. But then you will get a chance to go first and second, Chris. Okay?
So, yeah.
We're all happy. Okay.
Yes.
And also, I will be, I won't time you to the exact watch, but I will be probing you. If you're taking too long, I will time you out. So just be wary of the clock, okay? Okay, question one. This is the round one question. There is possible, I think there's 21 possible answers. So there's plenty of chance for you to get 5 points on the board each. Okay, it's wrestlers who have won, and oh yeah, sorry, I forgot to mention the whole quiz is all in relation to the Devil's favourite playground, Hell in a Cell. It is Hell in a Cell this Sunday. Well, I'll do a quiz based around it. Sorry. So, question one, wrestlers who have actually won a match inside Hell in a Cell. Okay, so it doesn't have to necessarily be on the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, it can happen at any time in WWE. Just as long as it was obviously one inside Hell in a Cell. It could be any pay per view. So it could be a Survivor Series, say, for instance, WrestleMania, but it just had to one inside Hell in a Cell. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, Mark, any wrestler who has won inside Hell in a Cell? You go first.
Okay. Shawn Michaels.
That is correct. You got 1 point. Then we'll go to Oliver.
Charlotte Flair.
That is correct.
The Undertaker.
And Christopher.
Undertaker.
That is definitely correct. So, point each. Mark, you go.
Mankind.
No, incorrect. That's incorrect. Oliver.
Bucks.
Kane.
That is correct. The Undertaker at Hell in a Cell 2010. Chris.
Triple H.
That is definitely, yep. Correct. They obviously had some fantastic Hell in a Cell matches. Back to you, Mark.
Mark Henry.
That is not correct. Sorry, as I said, that was correct. He has won a Hell in a Cell match, a Hell in a Cell pay. Oh no, sorry, that is correct. Yeah,
that's also incorrect. He has won a Hell in a Cell.
He beat Randy Orton at Hell in a Cell 2011. Sorry, it wasn't right. Right. So, Oliver.
Oh jeez, I had one. Edge
is incorrect. Just double check him. Yeah, Edge is incorrect. I'm afraid. I believe he's wrestled in Hell in a Cell, but lost to The Undertaker. So, yeah, incorrect.
Sure.
Chris?
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton is...
You beat Jeff Hardy last year.
Indeed correct, because I've been updated 2018. That's a bit embarrassing. That is indeed correct. That's going to be embarrassing for a later question. Yeah, that's correct. No point for Chris. Back to you, Mark. Question. This is question four, round four. It's on question three, round one.
I want to say, the power of deduction, John Cena.
John Cena is correct. Oliver?
Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar is indeed correct. He's won quite a few, actually. The Undertaker twice, in fact, in Hell in a Cell. Chris?
The Usos?
Oh, I should have been a bit more clear. Which one?
Jey Uso.
Yeah, that's correct. You've laid it on a plate. I did mean to make this crystal clear at the start, actually. That's been individual. Yeah, that's good. But yeah, you've got a point there, Chris. So that's fine. It's now over to Mark. So, Mark, could it be easier for
you? You know what it was, mate? I was literally about to say no idea now, and then I've just remembered one. And I think this person even maybe won more than one. Kevin Owens.
Well, that's correct, but you could have just said another twin of the that's correct, Mark.
I can't remember anybody else. I'm gonna say that now.
Oliver.
I think Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle is correct.
Because he won the six-way at Armageddon 2000,
he did,
didn't he?
He did indeed, spot on. And Chris,
I can't remember what the other Usos called. Jay and...
I'll see why you...
Is he seriously getting a point per Uso?
Yeah.
If I can remember his name.
Right. Nobody say anything else.
Nobody say anything else.
Oh, I've written down one twice.
Jimmy Uso.
Yeah, you're correct. Okay. So, after round one, Chris on five, Mark on four, Oliver on three. End of round one.
This is the Emperor Drake Winter, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
Alright, so it's time for Positive and Pro Wrestling. So, who wants to go first?
Shit, which match did I go for?
Sorry, I'm first, Chris, because I always go last, but I'm fully aware of what I want to say this time. My Positive and Pro Wrestling, once again, I thought it was a good week. Lots of matches to choose from. But in particular, I'm going with match three of an absolutely fantastic series in NXT between Dominik Dijakovic and Keith Lee.
Oh, great.
The first match was a double count out. The second match, Dijakovic won. This match was outstanding. You know, if I want to pinpoint an absolute highlight, it was an Avalanche Canadian Destroyer on a 320-pound man by a 270-pound man. And amazing. Just like you thought the match could end at any moment. You weren't sure who was going to win. And then Keith Lee wins with like a jackhammer kind of move.
Yeah.
And that's three matches and it's 1-1. So I'm desperately hoping for a big takeover match, war games, maybe like a 2 out of 3 falls or something, and I know they'll blow the house down.
I don't know how he survived that second row moonsault from Lee. I thought he would have died after that. But, Mark, do you want to go next?
Yeah, can do, man. So, as per usual, I'm not going to stay in the last two decades. I'll go before that. I'm going to go for a match that I watched again this week, which was one of the first matches I watched that included Japanese wrestlers. And that was actually on the ECW Barely Legal 97 pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Where it was a 3-on-3 match between Great Suzuki, Gran Hamada, and Yakasiji. And they were against Taka Michinoku, Terry Boy, and Dick Togo under the BWO guys, if you like. Just pre the whole WWF run.
Yeah.
As Kai and Tai. But all guys hailing from Michinoku Pro and that little deal that was going on with ECW at the time. Indeed it was. Choppy, choppy, pee-pee. Maybe not this time around, though. It was a class. Absolute, like, it blew me away because I managed to get a copy of this tape in 98. And it was like a year after, obviously, it aired and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I could not believe it. I was watching it. I'd never seen Japanese wrestling before. Like, I'd never seen it before. I'd seen Japanese characters in WWF and things of that nature, but I'd never seen what you'd classify as a Japanese match before, if you like. And this was my first experience of it. And I was, as I say, I was blown away. Some insane, I think it's the first time I've ever seen, like, you know, like, three-way tag team proper chain wrestling, if you like. Mm-hmm. So one wrestler does something which helps the next wrestler do something in return, and it's all seamlessly and what have you. So it was like a Boston Crab into a camel clutch into a drop kick to the face, and I was just like, what have I just seen? And it's, say that now, and it's, you know, it's every week on whatever channel you want to watch it on, but in 98, or when it was broadcast in 97, it absolutely blew me away. Even things like Hamada and Togo, two little sort of stubby pit bull dudes going at it. It was unbelievable, man. Brilliant stuff.
Alright, so I want you to go to YouTube and search Full Show Chapter 76 Hello Wembley. I'm not going for this week. This is just the best match I've seen this week. So go to 1 hour 51 and you'll find the Progress Tag Team Champions Thunder Bastard match. So you got champions Bandito and Flamina, the 198. You got the Anti-Flum Police. You got Aussie Open, Chris Brooks and Timmy Thatcher. You got grizzled young veterans Mills and Mayhew and Jack Sexsmith and David Starr. You can't go wrong with a massive gauntlet match, especially when you got Bandito and Flamita and Jack Sexsmith and David Starr starting the match with two matches. With teams joining every 2 minutes. It's just a cluster. It's an absolute blast. Some parts of it were a bit clunky because there were so many people in the ring, but when it clicks brilliantly, and it's a great underdog story that comes off in the end, and Nick was there. So.
I was indeed there, and I was also there. I was also at New Orleans as well in 2018. It was a fantastic year for me to be at wrestling.
Yeah, I think any time that Nick says New Orleans or WrestleMania, I don't drink, but you guys should probably have a drink.
I don't either, mate, but what I'm going to start doing is dropping when I went to Whitley Bay Ice Rink to watch WWF House Show 1993. I mention that every time.
I remember yours, yeah. Nick, if you can't remember it.
No, I do remember it now, but I'm debating about to change it.
Ooh. Ooh, can you change or is it cheating?
On the fly.
I'm going to go for the main event of Raw last week. It wasn't the main event, I beg your pardon. It was the penultimate match, the fatal five-way match. The match that randomly turned into an elimination match at last minute without even the commentators knowing about it. So it featured Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, of AJ Styles, obviously the eventual winner Rey Mysterio, and I've forgotten who the last man was. Ricochet, of course.
Yes.
It was a really great match. I always enjoy sort of fatal four ways, five ways. That was very good, especially when they got Siren Ryder in it as well. When you've got a winner, I actually thought the elimination added quite a bit to the match as well. I actually thought as well everyone came out of it looking great. I know Ricochet went out first. You could argue he maybe didn't come out of it looking too good, but I think he got enough offense in it to still look great. I think WWE still got good plans for him. absolutely loving Shinsuke Nakamura at the moment. Him and Sami Zayn together's gold. Sami Zayn, I think I mentioned it before about him on the mic, but I think Nakamura's actually shown a lot of signs of improvement as well recently. I think we're seeing a bit of the Shinsuke that we know and love in him. I think he's starting to come out, so I really do have whole faith that something good's going to come out of this run of Zayn. That was great as well. I thought Bobby Roode looked really good in this as well, especially with the managing to pin Styles as well. It does him a world of good. And of course, little Ray Ray, I've mentioned him a couple of times now in on my positive in pro wrestling. He was again exceptional in this match, and again with the win, it was I think he was pretty the logical person to win, to go and face Seth for the the Universal title. So the correct winner, but just a very nice high-paced match, very good face five-way, and as I say, I thought the booking throughout the match was very good. So this is my positive progress for this week.
Hello, this is Flynn Arlo, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Anyway, it's time for round two of Question of Sports Entertainment.
Yeah, I will be a bit more less gormless this time, so I'll say. Okay, question number two. So the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view's been going since 2009. I should have actually asked you, can you guess the year for that? It's been going since 2009, the actual pay-per-view, right until obviously the Sunday, it's the next one. I want you guys to name me wrestlers who have main evented Hell in a Cell pay-per-views. So they've wrestled the last match of the card since 2009. We're going to start with Oliver this time. Oliver, to go first. And again, I don't want a tag team. I just want one wrestler, okay?
Okay. The boss, Sasha Banks.
You're correct.
I'm guessing I'm next.
Yep, you certainly are.
So she was against Charlotte?
Yes. Can you expand on the name, please?
Charlotte Flair.
Thank you. Mark?
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're correct. Back to you, Oliver.
Back to me. Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar is indeed correct. To yourself, Chris.
John Cena.
John Cena is indeed correct. Mark.
Batista.
Batista is incorrect, I'm afraid, Mark. No, I don't think he's even actually ever. He might have wrestled at pay-per-view itself, but never main evented. Oliver?
The Undertaker.
Undertaker is indeed correct.
Didn't Chris? Batista main event against Triple H in Hell in a Cell?
Sorry.
Oh, since the pay-per-view, okay.
Triple H is my guess. So.
I was going to say, well, yeah, he has given you the answer, but it wasn't in that. They've never wrestled at the pay-per-view, but they wrestled a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania 28, I believe it was, and it wasn't even the main event of that show. But Triple H is correct, Chris. back to Mark.
Kane?
Kane is correct, yeah. Wrestled Undertaker has already been set at Hell in a Cell 2010. Oliver?
Okay.
This is your hit.
And this is since the pay per view came into effect in 2009.
That is correct.
Okay.
It's the pay per view itself. But spoiler alert, every match was ahead of the sale that made it ended.
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is correct. Chris?
Was he against Dean Ambrose?
He was indeed, yes. Well done. Mark.
CM Punk.
CM Punk is correct. Oliver, this is your last hit for this round, boys. Oliver, you're up.
Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio is correct.
Daniel Bryan, better one.
Daniel Bryan is correct. Yeah. Mark.
I've said him earlier, and I might as well say him again now. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens is correct, yeah.
Oh, God, I didn't have a clue.
Okay, that's that round all gone. So at the end of this round, with the scores tallied up, Chris is still on a perfect 10. Better than Tyler Jr., as some would say. Or Sean Spears, sorry. Oliver, fantastic round. You're on 8 points now as a result of that. Mark on 8 points as well. So it's all to play for. All going into the final round. Ooh. Anything can change.
Anything can happen here in the BBG.
Old Nick will not settle for any draws at the end. So he has got a little
tiebreak.
A little game to play. Yeah, tiebreak. I was looking for the word. Over to you, Chris, again.
Okay, so before we discuss Hell in a Cell, I just want to say we have a partnership with Wrestling Resurgence, a great promotion coming out of Leicester. Their next show is Roy Johnson's Everything Pattern. It's on Saturday, 12th of October. And we interviewed Roy Johnson, and the interview will be released this Friday. And he is in the main event against OJMO in a British Rounds match. The first ever Resurgence British Rounds match. And you can get 15% off Wrestling Resurgence merchandise and tickets by using our promo code BROKEN15 using the link in the description. So, as of this recording, only 3 matches have been announced for Hell in a Cell 19. Even though it's this weekend. So.
Well, I'm glad, considering I haven't watched any wrestling WWE program in the last 2 months or so, I haven't really missed out on the build-up then, have I? You know what I mean? So I can go into this as I am now and everybody be on the same page.
Yeah. So the first Hell in a Cell match, we have Seth Rollins defending his title against The Fiend.
No words needed. The Fiend has to win. Absolutely has to. I must speak for everyone. I was going to be leaving this show right now, throwing my phone on the floor as though if anyone's set to win. But no, all joking aside, yeah, The Fiend all day long, and you know what, I'd keep the match under five minutes, 10 minutes for a push. I'd keep it short. I'd have The Fiend, I'd make it almost a squash, like a bit like the SummerSlam match.
I think it almost has to be that, Nick. I'm hoping that it is. I hope you're completely right by that, because at this moment in time, it's almost like a Hogan main event match. Do you know what I mean? You know what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah.
That's how it feels. It should be that. It's just that how do they make it interesting?
I think the only way to make it interesting is
by a massive squash or loads of weird interference or nonsense. And they haven't really done so well with nonsense in the past. So they might as well stick to something like squash. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think that would be a great idea.
They have him just destroy him, but keep refusing to pin him and just keep destroying him. Then you've got Becky Lynch banging on the cage trying to get in. And make it dead emotional, where The Fiend shows no emotion, just keeps pattering him.
Maybe a bit of under the ring jiggery pokery or something, you know, where he disappears and comes back out and he's outside of the ring this time. Face to face with Becky. I don't know, whatever they want to do, but I agree with you, Nick. Yeah, they should batter him.
See, the only thing with this is it's been rumoured that Fox wants Bray Wyatt for SmackDown. That can obviously throw a spanner in the works. I agree with everything that everyone said. He wins the title, he wins it clean, he wins it inside a few minutes. And that's the best case scenario, to be honest. But
with the Fiend,
he always likes to mess with us, so we'll see what happens.
With The Fiend not appearing that often, couldn't he appear on both shows if he's just going to be videos?
No, we want the brand split.
Keep him on one show.
We could take the title with him. They could just swap the titles over.
Want an action figure. I don't care. I just want an action figure.
Our Joel made his mask out of an old Kane mask.
So, it's exactly, we're making it out of a Barbie doll.
Yeah, he goes, Dad, keep bringing me some TFX home from work. Alright, next we've got Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks, the other Hell in a Cell match. I think this has been a great build to this match. I've really liked Sasha since she's come back, and back to her NXT heel boss character. It's been brilliant, I think.
I was poking fun before about not seeing it for a while. I've seen bits and pieces. And I have to agree. Yeah, I think it's been a fun build and give them both a clap for how they've been dealing with this, especially Sasha. I think she looked really good. She's looked like the boss, you know, which is what we've all wanted to see for a while, I believe. I think we all know that she's capable. And then she took a lot of stick online and thought really unfairly about her wrestling ability. You know, just thought, she's a breath of fresh air. She's good. That whole league is good. And I'm glad that she's ticking the boxes, if you like, in terms of the attitude and the sass that goes with it all, which makes that character what it is.
She's brought the man back out of Becky Lynch as well, which I think is great. So I think Becky, since WrestleMania, it's been boring. I know it can't help being put in a feud with Lacey Evans. That's disastrous waiting to happen.
Yeah.
But she's brought the man back out of Becky Lynch as well. So I thought their match at the brawl they had at the last pay-per-view was great. And I'm really, really looking forward. I'm actually in terms of wrestling matches, I'm actually looking forward to this match probably the most going into, given there's only three matches now. But I am really, really looking forward to seeing where they're going to go with this match, because I think it will be, as all the right makings, to be a great and even a potential match of the night contender.
Yeah.
The thing is, in this situation, this is like the best built match, and if we're going by that, this should main event the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which will allow the Fiend to squash Seth Rollins at some point, you know, in like the middle of the card or maybe like the upper card. But based on the brawl and based on the storyline and everything that's happened on Raw and stuff, this should be the main event of the show. And you know, we all know that they can deliver if that's the case, and it'll be a really great way to end the show. I mean, if my prediction for this one, Sasha and Bayley are going to have the women's titles. I think they'll get the tag titles back as well, and they will kind of like run shot over the divisions. But this will be a fantastic match. I'm hoping that it'll be as good, if not better, as their NXT Unstoppable match, where it was so good that the fans were singing Becky Lynch's theme song at the end of the match, even though she lost.
Yeah, definitely. Then we've got Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Rowan and Harper.
I'm really excited about this. So there's so many outcomes of where this can go. I think it's been a slow build. I mean, it's been a bit clunky, the whole feud. Like, we've still got the mystery of who wears Errol Rowan's dad's gone and stuff like that. It's been a bit of a mess. But I think now that slowly since Harper's returned,
I'm so happy
it's,
for Harper.
It's really good. I was like, see him.
Didn't throw him one, to be fair. That's when it started making sense.
Well, I think Rowan as well.
If he had gone into the Clash of Champions and lost to Roman Reigns, then it's all for nothing. Well, winning and bringing Luke Harper back and possibly changing Daniel Bryan to how he used to be, maybe that might not last, but that's when it's all clicked into gear, basically.
Those
three elements that happened because he won that match.
Rowan as well, I think, needs to get more credit, because I think in the past, I'll be honest, in the past I've not thought much of Rowan. I've always thought Harper's been absolutely miles better than him. I've always thought he's the weakest member of the Wyatt family, and it's someone who's brought a sheet mask, because I love the character, but in the ring I was impressed with him. But I think he's been great since he's become into the zone. I think this feud's done him an absolute world of good, and he's really, it's all well and good given a good storyline to go with, but then the wrestler himself's got to make the effort to make it work as well. And I think hats off to Rowan, he's done superb in what he's been given. He's really made it, and he's really sort of grabbed the brass ring, so to speak. He's been great, and I think where this feud goes, there's so many possible outcomes, because Bryan, we've had him now, is he going to be a face, or is he really the masterman behind it all? Could someone else be the masterman? But then I'm even seeing crazy stuff on Twitter today that is Reigns actually going to turn on Bryan and side with Harper and Rowan as well. There's some crazy stories.
Maybe John Cena. but in all seriousness, Rowan had the best match of his career last week on SmackDown, didn't he? So he's really, really come into his own.
This is the beauty with Eric, because like when you look at him, man, we know he's been there for a while, and he's a mountain of a man. He's an absolute beast, and he's got some bloody power behind him, and he's good at what he does. The problem being that we've never had much of an opportunity to see that. So the good thing is, with the fact that we haven't had a good opportunity to see that in the past, he's come in as if he's this fresh monster that nobody was really aware of. Like,
yes,
the beast's been woken up, if you know what I mean. And now he's like a brand new character that we weren't expecting, and he's running rumshot, and it's great. It's great.
And he's introducing the world to random death metal
bands. See, in terms of prediction as well, this is a toss-up because of the different theories that are out there.
This will knock your accumulator.
once again, a win for the team of Rowan and Harper really helps them. A win because of Brian turning on Reigns sets up a match at Survivor Series, and he needs two partners. A win for Brian and Reigns doesn't really help the situation. So I think they've got to get it to a Rowan and Harper win, but I'm not quite sure how they're going to do it unless it's the aforementioned Brian turns on Reigns.
My name is Isaiah Quinn, and I am the guiding light, and you are listening to Broken But Glorious.
It's time for the final round of A Question of Sports Entertainment. So, Nick, do you want to remind everyone of the scores before the final round?
I will indeed. On 10 points, Chris Lappin.
Yay!
On 8 points, joint 8 points, I should say, we've got Oliver and Mark, and sorry, Mike Knox, I should say.
Mark Knox.
The last round, like, it can all change.
How's Big Mike doing, Mark?
Smash it. Smashing it right. In joint second.
So, this is quite a funny one. I don't know if we're all on the show last year, but obviously when we review, basically the next question is, I want you to name me, wrestlers who competed either on the pre-show or on the main show, wrestlers who competed at WWE Hell in a Cell 2018. So, again, I don't want the match, I just want individuals who actually wrestled and competed at the show, okay?
Okay.
So we did review the show, so lots of pressure on all three of us. You should have gone back and done your research and listened.
I should have gone back and done your research. Did you prep everybody? Did I miss that memo?
You should have you should have always go back and listened and thoroughly to all the podcasts that we do.
Of course.
But
should have prepared.
Wrestlers who competed at last year's Hell in a Cell 2018, so just the wrestlers, not the whole match, just the wrestlers. I'm going to start with Chris Lappin this time.
Randy Orton.
Randy Orton is indeed correct. We're moving over to Mark.
Oh, God.
He turned up, but he didn't have a match, so he didn't compete, so I can't give you a point.
No, he was there.
He did turn up, but he wasn't registered to a match, so no points, I'm afraid. Oliver?
I'm going to complete the first match, Jeff Hardy.
Yes, spots on, and what a match it was. Chris, you're up.
Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch is indeed correct.
Charlotte Flair.
Yes, and that was the match as well.
Yeah, that's, I picked it up on earlier rounds. That's why
I thought. It's a listening quiz as well.
Oliver,
you're up.
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns is indeed correct. Chris?
Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins is indeed correct, yeah. Mark?
Jesus. Braun Strowman.
Yes, spot on. Braun Strowman is correct. Yes. All of us.
How are you, Mark? Dean Ambrose.
Dean Ambrose is indeed correct. Yep. Christopher.
The Miz.
The Miz is indeed correct, yeah. Mark?
God, I'm just going to have to go with people who were probably famous in 2018. who's been a champion for a while?
I'm going to have to push you for an answer.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles is correct.
No way. Get him.
Oliver?
Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre is correct. Right, last point. Up for grabs now, Chris.
If Drew was there, I'm guessing Dolph Ziggler was there.
He was indeed, yes. Yep.
I hate you as well, Chris.
Mark?
Fucking hell. Because there's a tag team match. You want single names? Or,
yes. Just single names, yeah.
Oh, God. Kofi Kingston?
Kofi Kingston's correct. He beat on the pre-show last year. Oliver? yeah, you signed out Oliver now.
Yeah, I know, I'm out. Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, did you say?
Yeah.
I'm afraid that's no show, no point for you.
Wow.
It was not on the card last year for reasons why I don't know. I think he was injured, wasn't he, this time last year? He had been injured. Yeah, he was injured after that. Was it Lashley that fucked him up? Or someone injured him.
Double leg injury, wasn't it? Idiots.
That's it, because he was doing those promos where he was like playing bowling with his son and stuff. So, so, in last place, we have joint last of Mark and Oliver. You both joined last.
You put it so eloquently.
Mark, you're very consistent. You've got 4 points in each round, so you've got 12 points in total.
I'll tell you what, though, 90% of it was guesswork, so I was very bloody lucky.
Oliver, you had a great round two when you got 5. You had a very good round four when you got 4. Then you had a terrible opening round where you only got 3 points, so you got 12 as well. Round three.
You're in secret round.
You got 4 points for round three, I should have said.
Yeah.
I'm afraid.
Well, I got 3, 5, and 4, so that's consistent.
You got consistent there, but you're afraid, you're opening round, it's cost you dearly. So, Chris, you're a winner. You'll be the quizmaster next week.
What a shock.
And you've got 15 points there, Chris, so you've got every single available point.
Jeez. Yeah, so chicanery there.
Aye.
Shenanigans have been happening here. You and Chris started the show, did you? Yeah.
And I tell you what, I like the way he finishes on a gold medal, but we apparently come bronze, joint bronze. I tell you what, I'm going to recognise myself as the true winner of this quiz, much like Ric Flair did with the world title. I do. So,
congratulations to Chris.
Thank you.
Indeed. Well done, Christopher.
So I'll be quizmaster in 2 weeks.
Mate.
Used to over here next week. All right, so before we get into the big... Before we get into the BBG big debate, we have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, where you get a month's free access to over 145 promotions, including podcast favourites, Riptide, Progress, Evolve, Shine, dozens of others by using the promo code BrokenFree. So, the results of last week's big debate. So, in last place, so it was for who was the greatest King of the Ring. In last place with 9% was Nick, Baron Corbin.
What a joke.
Third place was Marks, Owen Hart.
Of course it was, because nobody watches wrestling before year 2019 now, do they? So
don't sound bitter much, Mark.
No, not at all. I had the best
Baron Corbin's the best. What do our listeners know about wrestling? Cut me off, Chris. Cut me off.
So Bret Hart came second, 23%. Oliver's Chris.
Bret Hart came second above Owen Hart?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
It's only because he's made an appearance on bloody AEW in the last decade.
Right, that means I won 48%.
Yeah, what a shock. We were used to that.
So congratulations to me.
Yay. You're the Shane McMahon of the podcast now, aren't you?
You can have both claps. Well done.
Right, so,
you can't see the daggers we're all giving you, Chris, but it's happening.
Feel it. Definitely smell it. Anyway, sorry, Chris.
So I thought, as it's Black History Month starts today, I thought we might as well debate some around that. So I've gone for the greatest black world champions of all time.
Cool.
So, nice gesture.
So we've got one pick each, 1 minute to argue your pick. Who wants to go first?
Come on then.
1 minute, 3, 2, 1, go.
Legitimately the world's strongest man, legitimately the father of a hand. He's an Olympian, he's a gold medal Pan Am Games competitor. He's sexual, he's chocolatey. His nation of domination will smash you to pieces in his hall of pain. It's Mark Henry. Now, not only was he an amazing tag team competitor with D'Lo Brown, he had some interesting relationships, to say the least. He was also played with injuries, but he didn't let this stop him, did he? Did he? Big Mark didn't let it stop him. He went on to become the ECW World Champion. His debut for ECW in a three-way with Kane and Big Show at Night of Champions. And then in 2011, the big one happened. The stars aligned, and he beat Randy Orton at Night of Champions. He smashed him to bloody pieces to win the World Heavyweight Championship. He did the same again at Hell in a Cell, as we've discussed earlier on. He also did a bloody one, hit a superplex off a top rope on the Big Show, destroying a ring whilst he was champion. He also rocks an incredibly nice pink salmon suit, and he's cut the best promo in the business to date. It's Mark Henry.
Bye.
Right. That's great.
I'll go next.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
Can you smell it loud? The tongue that The Rock is cooking. The Rock has done so much for the industry, but even now he's still just dominating the industry. You've only got to see his tweet, the buzz, the excitement it creates that he's going to be on SmackDown this week. Already, man, the millions around the world just already engaged. They're electrified, they're motivated, they're inspired. That everyone wants to watch SmackDown Live next week. It'll be the most electrified show of all of the time because The Rock, simply because The Rock's going to be there. But if we're going to talk about what he's done as well, he still knows his roots. You see him when he goes back to, when he goes back to his land, Samoa, how much of a hero he's represented back there. The charity work he does all around the world as well. He's just a living legend. He was the best, well, we mentioned last week, or a few weeks ago, he was the best WWE champion of all time as well. This man is just the greatest.
I'm
wrestler, but the greatest of all time.
I'm.
Do you want next, Oliver, or do you want me to?
you can go next, Chris.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Go.
The man is a world champion in every sense of the word. During his first reign, he had half of his defences were in other countries. He defended it in Preston City Wrestling against Noam Dar, Doug Williams, in Red Pro against Mark Haskins, as well as in Canada against Lance Storm. He also defended in New Japan's biggest show of the year, Wrestle Kingdom 10, where he defended against Michael Elgin. So my pick is Black Machismo, Jay Lethal. He had two reigns with the Ring of Honor World Championship, holding it for 427 days and defended it a record 41 times. He also had defences against Matt Sydal, Leo Rush, and Mark Andrews.
Time.
I'll do you, Oliver, on Mark. Can you win for this? 3, 2, 1, off you pop.
Mine is the five-time WCW champion, Booker T. Sucker. He was the WCW World Tag Team Champion numerous times for his brother Stevie Ray in one of the greatest tag teams of all time, Harlem Heat. He's a WCW Television Champion. He's a WCW United States Champion. He's a WCW World Heavyweight Champion, like I said, five times. He was a WCW World Tag Team Champion with Test. He was a WWF World Tag Team Champion with Test, WWF Hardcore Champion twice. He was a World Tag Team Champion with Goldust in the best tag team that I've seen of the new millennium. Intercontinental Champion, World Tag Team Champion with RVD, WWE United States Champion, World Heavyweight Champion as King Booker, TNA Legend Champion, TNA World Tag Team.
Stop.
All right, so there are our picks. So on Wednesday lunchtime, I will put up a poll on Twitter, BBGWPod, and the winner will be able to pick the topic for the next debate, which will be in 2 weeks. So,
very good.
We have plenty of interviews coming for the next couple of weeks. This week, look out for my interview with Big Wavy Roy Johnson. Mark, you got any announcements?
Let's get wavy. What a man.
Got any upcoming interviews, Mark?
We've got a few bits and bobs coming up soon. We've got, one of the main things that we're going to be doing is speaking to Kev Williams about his Hasbro book. He's going to be joining us on the show very soon. And we're going to be having a chat about that and the Hasbro competition that we're doing about Hasbro wrestling figures in general. So that's going to be the main one, but we've also got a couple of other episodes that we're planning to upload. I mean, like I said, I just want to sort of mention it again. Obviously, we were unfortunate, to, as everybody else was, to learn the news about Rick Bogner, unfortunately, passing away over the weekend. And so we uploaded that episode this week. It's more of a tribute than anything else. So, yeah, we'd appreciate it, if you, whether you listen to that episode or not, if you want to go and check out some of Rick's matches online, because there were some absolute corkers to be had. And as usual with wrestlers of his stature, if you like, in the terms of WWF and WWE, maybe overlooked a bit, and people don't look outside the box with people like Rick. So, yeah, more than anything, what I'd like to push.
Oliver, do you want to do your books quickly?
I've done a British wrestling book that covers the period of 2001 to 2007. That's called A Fan's Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. I've done a WWE book, which is based on the 2016 year, which covers Raw and SmackDown Live pay-per-views, NXT takeovers. The WWE book is called A Fan's Perspective 2016, What Year to Be a Fan of WWE. I've done a book on WrestleMania 24. That's called Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. These books are all available for half the Amazon price on my fansperspective.bigcartel.com. They're all available on your local Amazon in paperback. And if you have a Kindle, you can get them instantaneously on Kindle. And if you have Kindle Unlimited, you can get them instantaneously again. And I get paid per page as you're reading per sitting.
Great stuff. You enjoy our show? Follow us on Twitter, BWPod. Follow our hub, BBG Wrestling. Our website will be up soon, bbgwrestling.com. Good night, and see you next week.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.